Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Coming up this hour, why I can't buy into the optimism surrounding the Jets for this year, and why I have giant expectations for the Giants, not only in 2026, but beyond. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Sixers are going to be an absolute epic failure, epic disaster. I'm here for it. The Knicks are still the gold standard. They're still the measuring stick. They're still the best team in the league. They're certainly the best team in the East. The Sixers are all style, zero substance. They have no depth, especially in their front court. Embiid is a oft-injured player. He's a soft player. He's a crybaby. And he basically is a mummy walking around the court when he's hobbled half the time, probably more than half the time. So you're never going to get Embiid night in, night out to be that MVP that he once was. LeBron, look, he's a at this stage of his career to perform the way he does says a lot about him as far as his talents and his work ethic, but he's still a very much an aged player. He is old. So you're going to have to manage his minutes. You're going to have to try to figure out all these pieces and put that together in 1 year and win a championship. The chemistry, cohesiveness, connectiveness that exists with the Knicks will be there. See, the Knicks are already a well-oiled machine, a team that has been to the mountaintop, a team that has been together. And these bench players have been around for a minute now. Obviously, with Clarkson now back and Alvarado back and Shamet being here for a couple years. And even guys like Diawara and Kolek. Drummond is a new piece, but that's one player, and you kept the starting five together. The best starting five in the NBA. I don't think this offseason could have gone any better for the Knicks. The Celtics got worse. I think the Heat got worse. I'm sorry. Like, Giannis is... I've never been the biggest Giannis fan. That's why I always thought Giannis needed the Knicks more than the Knicks needed Giannis. Giannis, to me, is not going to age well. He is a liability at times offensively, especially late in the game. Can't hit free throws. And the Heat got rid of most of their depth and guys that can knock down threes in order to get Giannis there. Now, obviously, if Boston had gotten Giannis and they had gotten Mitch and they kept Jaylen Brown, now we could start to talk about the Celtics in the same conversation, at least as far as, hey, they could be a threat. But that didn't happen. And Boston, the Celtics are now in shambles. Detroit, I have no idea what they're doing. To me, they are basically a slightly better version of the Orlando Magic. Neither one of them pose any kind of real threat. The Cavs are gutless, heartless, spineless, analytical darlings that have zero shot of doing anything. And then you have Philly. Set up, primed, ready for a epic, monumental, all-time failure of a season. And I think LeBron James will finish up after this year. He's got a player option in year two. I think he'll be gone. He's not gonna sit there and deal with the nonsense he's going to have to deal with in Philly. That he's going to be like, all right, I'm out of here. He's either going to go to another team or he's going to go home. The Knicks proved this year, and really the Thunder the year before that, and just basketball has proven through the years that you need chemistry, you need a bench, and you need to play defense. The Sixers aren't going to do either or any of those or have any of those. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Paulie joins us from Greenwich here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie here in the late night. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Lugie, did you ever get the hat and the shirts and the pants?
You know what? I didn't. So I don't know if somebody put it somewhere that I wasn't able to find it, but I would imagine that my mailbox is too small to fit it in. And I usually sit in the same cubicle, but perhaps the mail people didn't know because I'm not around during the day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to email the, because you sent it, what, about a week or so ago?
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably sitting in our mail room. Let me just, I'm going to email the mail people in the room, and then they're going to just let me know. They probably have it back there in their office.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I hope you enjoy it. Anyway, I want to talk about the Knicks and the Philly, right? So what the Knicks have is they have chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. They have a great coach. They listen to their coach. At the end of the game, they know who's shooting the ball. There's no question about it.
Bingo.
There's a lot of love.
Good point.
There's no question. They do everything, right? Here's LeBron now coming to Philly. He ain't being second fiddly for nobody.
No
way. He's going to want the ball.
Right.
Him and Brown, there's only one basketball.
What about Maxey, too? What about Maxey? Or even Embiid?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like right. You said, the Knicks, they are one heartbeat, and maybe sometimes to a fault, but obviously, just winning a championship, it's hard to say to a fault, but there are times where maybe it's too much Brunson late in the game. But we know who gets the ball, and we know he's the most clutch player in the NBA, and we know how the Knicks do their business. When it comes to the Sixers, when it's late in the fourth quarter, who's getting the rock? Is it Maxey? Is it Embiid? Is it Brown? Is it LeBron? They're all obviously extremely confident, massive ego type of players. So how do you make that work as one unit? The answer is you don't.
Right, and not only that, here's another thing nobody's talking about. What about if you don't like what the coach is doing? What's he going to do? Go to his office and say, "Well, I don't want this coach. Get him out."
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
He's not going to respect the coach because the Knicks respect their coach. If the coach tells them, "Hey, listen, this is A, B, and C," they go out there and they do A, B, and C. LeBron's going to be like, "I won 4 championships. You ain't telling me."
Yeah, LeBron owns that city now and that team and that franchise. Like what LeBron says goes. So when you get into the LeBron James business, this is the type of business that you get into. Now, look, Philly coming off of the shellacking that they got from the Knicks, I understand why they're doing this, but you are ignoring the real problems with that team, which is they have no depth. Quite frankly, I think they lack in the heart department as well. And by adding Jaylen Brown and LeBron James, yeah, it makes you a lot sexier. It makes you more of a talking point. It's going to improve your odds, you know, as far as winning a championship, meaning gambling odds. But it's not going to win you the chip because you don't have what you need. And like you said, LeBron is just going to run amok there in Philly when things don't go his way.
And Tommy, one more thing, and I appreciate the call really and the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I want next year? I'm going to tell you who I want next year in the playoffs. I want Indiana.
Yep.
I want the Pistons, and I want Philly. I want to beat everybody so there's no more, they got an easy schedule, they didn't beat nobody. I don't want to hear it no more.
Yeah, look, I have a slightly different road than you. I obviously 100% agree with you on Philly. I have a very special table reserved. Look, this is New York City, right? You have all these great restaurants, and you're going out on a Saturday night. You get the special table reserved. You're Henry Hill and Goodfellas. You go through the back. Or you see the story with Jalen Brunson that he got right through to the club with his wife. And meanwhile, Michael Porter Jr., what do you have to wait online? Well, you know, one player is the king of New York. The other player plays for the Nets. So that really tells you the haves and have nots. But I have a special table reserved for the Pacers. But I also want Miami. Because there's still a lot of bad blood there. There's still not a lot of love lost there between us and them. So for me, I want Miami. Detroit is such a non... I'm sorry. Detroit should have gotten beat by the freaking Magic in the first round. Remember, Orlando was up in that series. Then Wagner got hurt. The Magic were up with, I think, yeah, it was at halftime. They were up by like 20-something points to close out that series. And Orlando didn't hit a shot, no joke, for like 3 straight hours. It was absolutely embarrassing. And Detroit was able to squeak by, and then the Pistons lost at home in their building to Cleveland. Cleveland. The Knicks don't have to prove themselves to Detroit, that's for sure. So Detroit to me is irrelevant. The Pistons are an irrelevant basketball team. They're not even in the conversation. I'm only bringing them up because you brought them up. Otherwise, I would not bring them up. But Miami, Indiana, Philly. Not even going to bring up the Celtics either. Because they are in complete shambles right now. This offseason couldn't have went any worse for them. Everything backfired on Boston. But it's set up for the Sixers to be a total, total flop. And not only for our entertainment, but for the Knicks' benefit, which makes it even better. Like, if the Knicks stunk, I would still be front row for this because it's Philly, it's let them, LeBron, like, it's such a unlikable situation. But the fact that the Knicks can benefit from this too and be the reason that they go home, I have the utmost confidence in the Knicks going into this year, especially when it comes to playing Philly. Let's go to James in Jersey City here on After Hours. What's up, Jimmy?
How you doing, Tommy? How you doing?
What's happening?
So I am so excited for this season. LeBron is not going to want to handle the Northeast. That's all I'm saying. Like you said, the team has to mesh for them to do anything. I don't see that happening. I'm seeing a lot of headbutting. I'm seeing a lot of different archetypes not getting along on that team.
Yep.
And I can't wait. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you, bro. Love you.
Yeah, you got it, bro. It just has all the recipes for disaster. It has all the recipes for a flop, a failure. It's all sizzle. No steak. No substance. It'll catch a lot of headlines. It'll garner a lot of attention. The Sixers will. Their offseason will be applauded across the board nationally. They got LeBron. They got Brown. They got Jaylen Brown. They got a finals MVP. They got LeBron, in many people's minds, the greatest of all time. But what they don't have is chemistry. They don't have depth. Defensively, they won't be able to stop a team like the Knicks. And what they are going to see is a Knicks team that is still ultra-motivated with a superstar, best player in the sport, face of the league, ultra-motivated to go back-to-back. And I think this offseason, not only for the Knicks as far as what they did, basically returning the same team that won a title, but also what has happened around them, it couldn't have went any better for them. Boston in shambles, Detroit irrelevant, Cleveland irrelevant, Miami, I think, worse off with Giannis, and Philly, where they will be propped up. And this idea that Philly is going to be this unstoppable force, they got the best starting five in the league, which they don't, by the way, the Knicks do. And then Philly's going to fall right on their face, flat on their face. This offseason couldn't have went any better. And now the final, I would say, piece to it is something that I've been talking about for, it feels like months. I mean, the parade was, what, about a month and a half ago? And that is extending Karl-Anthony Towns, which he is up for this year. And I would do that. Now, hopefully Kat would take more of a hometown discount when it comes to the extension. That'd be nice. Sort of take a page out of the book of Jalen Brunson, which not everybody wants to do. Not everybody wants to go the route of a Brunson or a Tom Brady. I just think it's smart to do that because Kat has seen sort of both sides of the coin. He saw what it was like in Minnesota. He see what it's like in New York. And I feel like keeping this starting five together as long as humanly possible should be the goal of everybody that is a part of that organization, from the top to the bottom. And the reason why I would give him this extension, because I know there's fear, well, he's not going to age well, the contract won't age well. Karl-Anthony Towns is going to age well as a player because he can shoot. You don't lose that part of your game. There's a reason why Russell Westbrook, by the latter stage of his career, wasn't the same player he used to be, because when he lost the burst, when he lost all that talent that he had because he aged, he wasn't any good anymore because he can't shoot. Giannis, same thing. When he loses that burst, when he loses that step, he's going to be useless because he can't shoot. Where Karl-Anthony Towns will age well because he can shoot. He is one of, if not the best, shooting big men of all time. So I've been saying it. I'll continue to say it. Karl Anthony Towns needs to get an extension. Hopefully at a discount. But even if not, I would still go ahead with it if I were the Knicks. Because number one, I don't want a cloud kind of hanging over Cat. Because we've seen this with Cat. Whenever that's the case, he doesn't play his best basketball. Pay him. Make him happy. Make New York his long-term home. And I think he will reward this basketball team. Because we saw the best of Karl Anthony Towns last year. Not only as a Knick, but in his entire career. And I believe you will see that throughout his career. And the rest of his career. Because when you can shoot, like he can, from all areas of the court, you will not age poorly as a player. He is not somebody Cat is that I would be worried about in that department. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Coming up, why I cannot buy the optimism that many, that I've heard at least, as far as the Jets season goes. I cannot buy into the optimism that surrounds right now with the Jets. Plus, my giant expectations for the Giants this year and your phone calls. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, After Hours here on The Fan. 323 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, it is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Carlos Beltran, Jeff Kent, Andrew Jones all got into the Hall of Fame. As far as Beltran, I'm like 80% sure, 80% that he's going to be hired as the general manager in the offseason. David Stearns obviously is not going anywhere, which I've been saying for a long time, and then Steve Cohen stamped that by saying David Stearns is not going anywhere. But I do think Carlos Beltran, who he even admitted to the press before this Hall of Fame weekend, that there were discussions about Beltran taking over as the manager once Mendoza was fired, which Beltran was never going to do because, number one, you don't want the interim tag. Number two, Beltran has a lot going on this summer, including getting into the Hall of Fame, including getting his number retired at Citi Field. So he was never going to take on a role as an interim manager anyway. But then when you couple that with the two monumental career moments that Beltran is having this summer, it made absolutely no sense for Carlos to take the gig. And I don't see him taking it in the offseason either, or I would just, for me, like my number one is Cora. It's Alex Cora. That is the list. I should probably make a longer list, I suppose, but I just, to me, number one makes total sense. Much like for the Giants, it was Harbaugh, and then if he didn't sign on the dotted line, they would go from there. I feel the same way about Cora. Get Alex Cora to sign on the dotted line, and then go from there. It makes all the sense in the world. Cora, obviously, much like Harbaugh, has a unbelievable resume. He is beyond well-respected. He's one of the best managers in all of baseball. But I do think Beltran will have a major role with this organization starting in the offseason. And I do think the team is ready to hire a full-time general manager to work not underneath, but with David Stearns. And speaking of Harbaugh, we'll get to my Giants' expectations for this season that is coming up, plus why I am not optimistic as many are about the Jets this year. That is all coming up before the 4 a.m. hour. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Aiden in Point Pleasant. He joins us. What's up, Aiden?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Love your show.
Thanks.
A couple quick things. two about the Knicks and one about the Sixers. I'm a Knicks fan that lives in Pennsylvania, and obviously a bunch of my buddies are Sixers fans, and signing LeBron seems like the biggest deal in the world. But my thing with the Sixers is, you know, even with LeBron, as great as he is, and I love LeBron, and he gets older, that team seems a bit congested to me. Like, as great of a starting five as they do have, you're relying on Embiid to stay healthy. You're relying on LeBron, a year older, to play how he did. But there are some egos on the team. Who takes the last shot? And also, as you saw with the Knicks, I mean, building team chemistry takes
years.
A while.
Yeah,
you know?
It takes years. And that's also with, look, a clear-cut number one, this is the superstar on the team, Jalen Brunson, but also a superstar that during the playoffs in the first round, he was told, hey, look, we're going to start running the offense through Karl-Anthony Towns. It's what's best for the team. And he swallowed his ego and said, okay, cool, let's do that. And obviously it propelled the Knicks to winning a championship. And then when it was time for Brunson to take over and be the man and have that performance in Game 5 in the finals, he did that. And he had one of the all-time epic performances in any basketball game, let alone a finals game, where he practically scored half the Knicks' points in the closeout clincher.
Yeah, absolutely. And it actually running the offense through Towns at the top of the key helped open up Brunson a lot.
Yep.
Scoring concerned to be the most.
But everybody was able to swallow. Listen, guys' egos, they had to swallow their egos, you know, less roles on the team. I mean, that's what makes a great team. I don't think that's going to happen with the Sixers because you have way too many moving parts. They're not going to have the chemistry. Brown's going to want to be the man. Maxey's going to want to be the man. Embiid's going to want to be the man. LeBron always wants to be the man. So it's going to be a lot of that going on. And I think you were alluding to this earlier, and I was saying this for the last hour or so. The Sixers have zero depth. Zero. And that's a major problem. In order to win a championship, it's not just about the starting five. It's about the guys that come off the bench. And the Knicks are a huge example of that. And they had amazing depth and returned most of that depth in the offseason. The Sixers had zero depth in the playoffs this year. That's why they got bounced the way they did against the Knicks.
Right. And what's incredible to me, and one last thing, thank you for giving me the time, I don't understand how people are discrediting the Knicks. And why the Knicks can't, even though the East has changed, why the Knicks can't come out on top of the East. And second, the West hasn't changed too much, and the Knicks already proved they can beat one of the best teams in the West.
Yep.
I don't understand how the Knicks, how signing LeBron James on the Sixers has all of a sudden completely discredited what the Knicks can do and likelihood will do to them next year.
Well, it's because it's LeBron, and there's obviously, we all know this, there's a bias against New York, especially nationally, and there's this feeling of, well, Jalen Brunson isn't a true superstar, and this team doesn't have the sex appeal that the Spurs have, or the Sixers now have, or even the Heat have with Giannis, and so we have to build up these other teams, when the reality is that this offseason couldn't have gone any better for the Knicks. I think it's practically been perfect. And they are in prime position to defend their crown, do something that hasn't been done in a minute, and that is go back-to-back. Now, the team I haven't mentioned a lot is Indiana, because Indiana actually does have the goods. They have the depth. They have the Knicks number. But I think next year will be a totally different story. But Indiana is similar to the Knicks in the sense that they have built it the right way. They do have the chemistry. They do have the defense. They do have the coaching. They're not just a mishmash of stars, which never works, ever. And if it does, I should say this, it never, ever works short term. It takes time. It even took the Heatles time. It took LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. It takes time. And the Sixers don't have time. I mean, LeBron basically signed a one-year deal. He's got a player option after his first year, so he could be out of there after 1 year. So Philly doesn't have what other teams have had in the past, which is a runway to build that chemistry, that cohesiveness, to be connected in order to win a championship. I know July could be a month of optimism and positivity when it comes to Jet fans. And no matter where I turn, except if I look at Fliegelman, because he thinks the Jets are going to lose basically every game, including in the preseason. But outside of him, everywhere I look, Jet fans are extremely optimistic about this team going into this season. And they bring up things like the offensive line. They bring up things like the moves that they made in the offseason. Sadiq and Cooper beefing up this wide receiver core. Breece Hall sticking around long term. A defense that can't be worse than last year, which I guess statistically there's no way you could possibly be worse. In fact, I'll throw you a bone before I crush the team a little bit. I think the Jets will have a pick six in week one. A pick six. Murphy's Law. Well, I don't know if that's Murphy's Law, but whatever law it is. They didn't have an interception last year. It would be fitting that they'd have not only an interception in week one, plus you're playing a young quarterback in Cam Ward. Let's go Jets pick six in week one. But there is a lot of optimism for the Jets. And people bring up all the reasons that I just said, but they ignore the two biggest things. This is a quarterback head coach league. The Jets have the worst head coach in the NFL, and they have one of, at least based off last year, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. So explain to me how this year the Jets are in any type of position to win games. Like, I think it is more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired in week 6 or 7 or 8 than it is that the Jets win 6 or 7 or 8 games. Week 2, home against the Packers. Week 3, road against the Lions. Week 4, against the Bears in Chicago. So those are 3 losses. At best, you're 1-3 after 4 games. At best. And Aaron Glenn has put himself in a situation here, which he overplayed his hand by not making nice with the media and acting like you were Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells right out of the gate. You have now put yourself in a situation where the Sharks will be circling. And any sign of what we saw last year, the rumblings of him getting fired are going to turn from rumblings to out-and-out cries for it. And the Jets basically hired his short-term replacement in the offseason in Frank Reich. So you have a guy that is capable with head coaching experience on the staff that can be plugged in right away. And you're not just like the Giants did last year with Kafka or the Jets did a couple years ago with Ulbrich, where both of those guys were actually worse than Saleh and Dable, which felt like something that is impossible, but the Jets and Giants made that possible. Well, because they had guys and coordinators that had no head coaching experience and weren't qualified. Frank Reich is qualified. But yeah, I think it is more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired by October 18th. So that would be right before the Patriot game, somewhere around that period, or right before the Dolphin game, October 25th. I think that is more likely than the Jets winning 6 games, 7 games. Long-term optimism? Yeah, I could sell you that on the Jets. Long-term. And I'll use the Knicks model. Because everybody said you can't win a championship with Dolan. Now they say you can't win a championship with Woody. The Knicks won a championship with Dolan. So I think the Jets can win a championship with Woody. But the other three things need to be dynamite. You have to have the right architect. Leon Rose, obviously, as good as it gets in any sport. Is Muji that guy? So far, I would say, so good. But a long way to go before Muji is even anywhere near the conversation of, forget Leon Rose, the, let's say, mid-tier executives in the NFL. Now you need the quarterback, which we know is not Geno Smith. It's not Cade Klubnik. It's certainly not Brady Cook. It's whoever they draft coming up in the 2027 draft. And I know a lot of people wrote off Arch Manning. And I don't blame you if you were one of these people that watched, you know, week one, you were, of course, locked in. They were playing Ohio State. But I think a lot of people didn't pay attention to how great Arch Manning was down the stretch last year. He played a hell of a lot better in his final, maybe like five, six games, maybe even more than that. But he played a lot better in a big enough sample down the stretch where I believe year two here or year two as a starter in Texas, he will have a very strong season. I think Arch Manning is going number one overall. And I think it is in the Jets' best interest to be sitting there with the number one overall pick. Now, they may not go Arch. I'm not under the impression that Arch Manning will not come to the Jets. I know that's going to be a common thing you hear throughout the fall, especially because I think both Arch will play better and start to ascend up the ranks even more, and I think the Jets will have the type of year where they will be picking and looking like they will be picking in the top five. So that conversation about the quarterback and the draft next year will be one we're having quite soon into the season. I, for one, don't buy into Arch Manning's not coming to the Jets. Well, first of all, have you spoken to Arch Manning? You know this for sure. Second of all, this is still New York. You're still a top quarterback in a major market. Ask Boomer. I mean, it puts him in a tough spot. But what did more for his career? Being in Cincinnati or being in New York as a quarterback? Arch Manning could call up his uncle, Eli, and say, Eli, what did it mean to win championships in New York? Well, he doesn't have to tell him. Just turn on the television. You can't go 5 minutes without seeing Eli Manning on TV. The Jets are not the Giants, but they're still a NFL franchise in New York. And to be a star quarterback for that team and to be the guy that gets them over 500, back to the playoffs, dare I say win a Super Bowl, that's a way to, especially if you have Manning on the back of your jersey, that's a way to sort of separate yourself from your extremely famous uncles. And yeah, even your famous grandfather. So I would think Arch Manning would look at that as a challenge. And all the people, or a lot of people this is the other thing too. A lot of people will say, well, he's never coming to the Jets. Those are the same people that will tell you that the Jets are going to be good. It's like, well, if you think they're going to be good, then why doesn't Arch Manning think they're going to be good? If the Jets have all these great things that they're building, an offensive line, a wide receiver room, let's call it a really good running back that committed long term, wouldn't that be all things that Arch Manning would want to step into? If the Jets are as good as a lot of people think they are as far as some of their foundation, okay. I'm not going to completely disagree with that, but it's a coach-quarterback league, and they have the worst coach, and they have one of the worst quarterbacks. That's why I can't be optimistic this year. Long-term, I can be, though. I can. And I'll use the Knicks as an example. The Knicks were where the Jets are now. Hopeless. Worst franchise in sports. Directionless. Nobody wanted to play there. They'll never win with this owner. They can't attract any superstars. Until the unlikeliest of superstars was attracted to this team. And they hired the right person to build this team brick by brick in Leon Rose. So long term, and the Jets have put themselves in that position by trading away a bunch of young players where they have a lot of these picks. And they have a quarterback class next year that you can really, really get excited about. So 2, 3, 4, 5 years optimism for the Jets. I can buy it. I can sell it to you, the Jet fan. No doubt. This year, I can't. I can't. And I think it's more likely that Glenn is out of here, fired by week 7 or 8 than it is the Jets win 6 or 7 games. And one of the reasons I think you hire a Frank Reich is because if you fire Glenn early on, you can put somebody in there like Frank Reich that is a head coach with head coaching experience. So you're not in a situation like you were a couple years ago where Ulbrich came in and he was worse than Saleh. Your defense was worse because you had to move Ulbrich away from the defense. And let's be real, the Jet defense hasn't been good since Saleh was here. Even though Aaron Glenn, that should be his expertise. It's just too much on Glenn's plate. He basically, paraphrasing, and obviously there were some conflicting reports on this, but we'll go with our guy Marash. Woody Johnson essentially said to Aaron Glenn, look, I'm paying you all this money. You fix the defense. Fix the defense? The guy can he's got to figure out how to be a head coach, and you got him as a defensive coordinator too? Would you like him to go out there and throw passes as well? It is a very, very difficult situation that Aaron Glenn is walking into. Some of it his fault, some of it not his fault. I can buy Jet optimism, not for this season, not for this year. I understand, by the way, I understand it. I get it if you're a fan and you want to buy into it in July, but it's like you don't have the pieces yet, the important ones. It's a coach quarterback league. Your quarterback's Geno Smith. Your coach is Aaron Glenn. And I don't like Kate Klubnik either. I know the Jets do. They traded up for him, but I don't. But I do think in 5 years, the Jets can be where the Knicks are now or close to it. Let's not get nuts and say they're winning a Super Bowl, but I do think the Jets can be a playoff team year in and year out in a couple years. I think they're on the doorstep of that. Now, they could screw it up, of course. Anybody could, but that's where I can feel more optimistic. And that's where I could, if I was buying sort of shares or stocks of optimism and you were selling it to me for, hey, a couple years down the line, I'd say absolutely, absolutely. Can't do it this year. Nor is it in the best interest of the franchise to have a sort of mediocre year, because that kind of puts them in NFL purgatory, which is where you don't want to be. And as far as culture, you know when your culture gets better? When you have a great quarterback. And you hire the right head coach, and you have the right... That's where things start to come into place. But let's say Saleh has a moment, Ward has a moment, and the Jets lose the first game. They're 0-1. Then you get Love and the Packers in week 2. You don't feel good about that game, I would imagine. Week 3, Lions on the road. Then you're on the road again for the Bears. So that's 4 games. So let's say you're 0-4. Do you know what the conversation is going to be like around here if they're 0-4? Because if they're 0-4, it probably means Geno Smith's not playing well. So you're already talking about a coach and quarterback change a month into the year. Most teams that do that a month in the year are not set up for a successful season. I do think there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And no, I don't think it's an oncoming train. But I can't buy it for this year. I can't. I do think there's a path. I do think there's a mid to long-term plan for this franchise. I do think they are going in that direction, but they are far from at that point where you say, this team is... I mean, Aaron Glenn saying Geno Smith is leading them to the promised land. The only promised land that would be is the number one overall pick, which is exactly where Geno got to the Raiders to. Pete is in a Copog. He joins us right now on After Hours. What's up, Pete?
What's going on, man?
Hey.
Oh, another night leaving the bar, another night listening to you, and I'm in full agreement. I have a bunch of Jet fan friends who are like, oh, this is going to be such a better year than last year. Is it? Is it? I want to know what you guys are drinking, because this is going to be rough.
Yeah, I don't see a path to it being a good year. Now, there are some building blocks. There are some things that you could look towards to get excited about, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's Sadiq and Cooper that you drafted in the first round, things of that nature. But I just can't see it with this head coach or this quarterback, and the schedule's brutal early on. I don't feel the optimism that some people have for the Jets this year.
I mean, I know what I'm looking forward to, and you nailed it right on the head, Arch Manning, because that's going to be our quarterback, because we're going to be the first overall pick. We are going to be the worst team in the NFL this year, for sure. I don't think anybody's going to be worse than the Jets this year. And as much as it's going to be building blocks, maybe losing tight games, I mean, look, you know, we're not even at the season yet, and Geno Smith's already acting up. I don't know what happens. He gets here and he decides, I need to be my worst version of myself. I just completely changed my image throughout the NFL for the last decade, and everybody's been on Team Geno.
Yeah.
And then the second, you know, he has a bad year with the Raiders.
Bingo. You just nailed it. Bad year last year. And that matters. I mean, you could tell me all about his Seattle career, but it's like the last we saw of Geno Smith, he was just as responsible as any for getting the Raiders the number one overall pick.
And he's going to do that for us next year. And yeah. Arch Manning will be a Jet, and it'll be way more, you know, he'll get free run to the franchise. They'll have a brand new head coach.
Yep.
Glenn is definitely getting fired halfway through the year. There's no doubt about it.
It certainly feels that way. Like I said, if you asked me, hey, I had to put my money on one or other thing, is he either going to get fired? That's one. Or the other one is the Jets are going to win 6 or 7 games. I would say Glenn being fired mid-year. I would say Glenn getting fired mid-year. It just feels like it's going in that direction.
Well, I'll call you the first round of the playoffs, and I'll let you know when the Jets have won 4 total games that they have not won 6 or 7 games that everyone thinks they're going to win in the first 10.
Yeah, for those who are curious, the Vegas number is 5.5. Their over-under is 5.5 games. 5.5. Yeah, it's just, and then you look at the other side of the coin there with the Giants. You have a head coach that has over a 600 winning percentage. You have a quarterback that many, including myself, are very excited about. And almost the equal amount of hype that the Jets have gotten, the Giants are getting. Including myself hyping them up. As I have giant expectations. I do expect, I don't want to say demand, but feel like they are going to win 10 games, the Giants. And I, for one, as far as the division goes, I'll give the respect to the Eagles, no doubt. For those that think the Cowboys are going to win the division, those are famous last words. Was going to win the division? Okay. Sure. Washington's old. They have a quarterback that has injury concerns. I don't think Dan Quinn is a good coach, despite having some success. I still think the Giants have the best head coach in the division. That counts for something. And make no mistake, if the Giants have, I'm optimistic now, I have giant expectations. If the Giants fall short, if they fall flat, if they have a bad year, I will be extremely upset and I will be extremely critical of them, because to me, this is not a rebuilding year. Like, my paths for these two franchises is for the Jets, they're going to have a bad year, but ultimately in the long run, it's going to do them a lot of good. I think another bad year here for the Giants is going to do them a lot of harm. Sometimes when the savior comes in, sometimes when the culture builder comes in, sometimes when you make this type of move to bring in Harbaugh, you got to have that success right away. Like, this team's got to start to learn how to win games and win it big. No baby steps. The Giant hype, so I think locally it's close between the Giants and Jets. You might think I'm nuts, but everywhere I turn, I hear it's a lot of the usual suspects, but they're going through the turnstile in July. So I think locally it's pretty close, Jets-Giants, as far as optimism. But nationally, obviously, the Giants have way more hype than the Jets do. But with that hype, especially with the Giants both across the board, to me, there's no error or room for error or margin for error. Barring massive injuries. Which the Giants got good news on Neighbors. He's not on the pup list. I expect Scadaboo back week one. And I think the Dart stuff when it comes to his health was completely overblown last year. Completely overblown. Dart was only in concussion protocol once. Once. And I love the fact that Harbaugh said that the Giants are planning on using Dart like the Ravens used Lamar Jackson. A guy who's won multiple MVPs. That's probably the right course of action. Let's go to Frank in Jersey City here on After Hours. Tommy Lou Gower, Loogie in the Late Night. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how you doing? Love your show, by the way.
Thanks. What's happening?
The Jets, I've been a Jets fan since 67. I get no real optimism this year. I don't think Aaron Glenn is a company guy, and I mean that in a positive way. He'll eventually get booted to like a good position there with the Jets or a good situation. But he's there to tank. And I think Woody Johnson, this is just my opinion, Woody Johnson made that decision when he fired Sala in the middle of the season. And they're just tanking until they get some real good people. That's your quarterback.
If you were so, quote unquote, losing on purpose or tanking or whatever the word you want to use, the reason you'd be doing that, especially in the NFL, is to get that quarterback, which is the Jets' biggest issue for all these years, is they haven't had the right quarterback, and that's usually what will submarine and sink a football team, is if they don't have the quarterback.
That's true. They haven't had a good, great quarterback since Joe Namath, a great one. They've had some good ones, but not a great one that led them. Yeah. So
you could argue they've been tanking for, let me do my math here, for 60 years. So, what, though, Frank? Sometimes it's worth the wait. Sometimes it takes 60 years to get it right. I disagree with you, by the way, because if they do lose a million games, Glenn is out of here, and he's going to be out of, and I don't think they move him to another role in the organization, at least short term. I don't think that's happening. It's just been, I like the draft. Like, everything involving Muji, I think, has gone all right, but the Glenn stuff is weird. Like, that Gruden story was weird. The story with Wink Martindale was weird. They hired a defensive coordinator that I literally have never heard of. Brian Duker? Like, 80% of me believes that that's AI, Brian Duker. Like, he's not an actual human. Like, he's the first ever defensive coordinator that is artificial intelligence. Because when I saw that story, I was like, the Jets have hired Brian Duker to be their defensive coordinator. I go, that's an interesting name. Literally never heard of him. It's just been a weird, weird offseason. And there are things I think you can grasp onto with the Jets that you like. Absolutely. You want to talk about the offensive line. I'm not going to argue with you. You want to talk about Wilson and Sadiq and Cooper and Hall and Taylor. Yeah. But now go through every other team and you'll find a receiver, you'll find a tight end, you'll find an offense. You know what I mean? What you need to have, and those teams do that are in the playoffs year in and year out, is quarterback, head coach. And obviously, of course, general manager as well. I think the jury's still out on Muji. Geno is obviously not the long-term answer. And Aaron Glenn needs to win games and needs to win them fast. Otherwise, he is going to be, I think, out of a job before the season is even over. And yeah, with the Giants, I think the hype is justified. I think it's a division that is up for grabs. I don't think there's a clear-cut, necessarily favorite to win it, unless you want to put the Eagles there just based on recent history. I cannot buy into the Cowboys. And then I'm taking it from, I'm a Giant fan, but I can't see it with them. I feel like Cowboys are better off in a spot where they're kind of flying under the radar, which if they're, because I've heard it from multiple people hyping them up, including someone who told me, I was talking to them off air, they're like, their defense got better. How could it get any worse? It got better. The Cowboy defense gave up how many passing yards to Russell Wilson that game last year? 7,000? To Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's doing TV this year. No. But we'll see. That's why they play the games. And we're going to find out right out of the way, because the fan focus, too, is going to be linked to that. And that is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com, because we're going to find out right away, because the Giants and Cowboys are playing in week one like they always do. And hopefully the Giants fare a hell of a lot better than the last time these two teams met in week one. And getting off to a good start would be a benefit to the Giants, not only the obvious winning games, but also it has been a problem for them. You know, with Brian Daboll, it was always that game on Sunday night against the Cowboys, or the homecoming game, as I called it, the 100th anniversary year against Minnesota, or last year, maybe not a lopsided score, but a poor performance in Washington. Brian Daboll's teams always got off to bad starts, and I felt like it set the tone for the year. And for Harbaugh early on to set the right tone, to get a win early on, to get some wins early on in those first couple games, would go a very long way for the Giants meeting those Giant expectations that I have and many have going into 2026. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. Final hour if you want to talk about the Knicks, the Giants, the Jets, Yankees and Mets. That's all on the table. I will give you a name that I think the Yankees should target at the trade deadline here, and also why the Sixers will be a massive flop this season. 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.